Good morning, good Erev Shabbos. Today we're going to continue to discuss the Ramban's approach to the gift of Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban's discussion of this begins all the way in the very beginning of Sefer Bereishis, the very first Ramban that we saw. The Ramban describes Eretz Yisrael as the choicest real estate in the world, Nivchar Mekomos Hayishu. The Ramban also mentions in Parshas Lech Lecha and the Pasuk Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem that the almost the nations of the world, everybody understood that this is a special location. The Ramban is referring there to Yerushalayim. And he says that it was the Emsa HaYishuv, again emphasizing the centrality of it and the fact that geographically it's the middle of the world, shows its chashivos. The Ramban adds over there on the Pasuk Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem that Yadu Ma'alaso B'Kabbalah Shu Mechuvan K'neged Beis HaMikdash Shel Ma'alah Shesham Shechinaso Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu Shenikra Tzedek. So that is one point that we saw. Another point that we saw was that given that Eretz Yisrael has such chashivas, therefore the Ramban says it was not fit for Zera Kenan, who was cursed, to be Zocha in this land. Rather, it was really meant to be given to Zera Ohavo. The Ramban says that Eretz Yisrael, this is in Parshas Noach, he mentions this, as well as in Parshas Lech Lecha, that it was really meant for Klal Yisrael, Kechevo Nachalasam, the fact that after Dor HaFlaga, Kenan happened to be living there, was really only like a pikadon. They were there temporarily, there while until it came time for Klal Yisrael to take it over. Another thing that we noticed was in the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, Avraham Avinu is told to go El Ha'aretz Asher Ar'eka. But it doesn't say in the Pasuk that he should go to Eretz Yisrael, but Avraham Avinu, when he begins to travel, the Pasuk says, Vayetzu L'Leches Aretzah Kenan. So the question is, why was Avraham going to Eretz Kenan? Hashem didn't identify the destination. The Ramban mentions two things. Number one, Achaz Tzadik Darko. That since we know that that was originally his plan when he left Or Kasdim along with his father Terach, it says in the Pasuk and then the Parshas Noach that their intention was to ultimately go to Eretz Canaan. The only thing is, they made a stop off in Charan, they ended up remaining there, and then Avraham Avinu was told by Hashem to continue to go El Aretz Asher Ekos. So his natural response was to continue in the route that he had originally had intended to go, which is toward Canaan. Then the Ramban adds something else, which we pointed out. The Yitachen, says the Ramban, that Avraham Avinu knew from way back, he Eretz Kenan, he Nachlas Hashem. So it wasn't a secret. Umos knew it. Avraham Avinu knew it. The Hemin, he trusted, Ki Tzivoy Hashem, was for that particular location. Another thing that we noted, based on a Ramban in a couple of places, that Avraham Avinu's, there was already an intention by a Kadosh Baruch Hu at a certain pivotal moment in history to give the land to Avraham Avinu. Before Hashem said a word to Avraham that this land is your land, it's for you and for your children, there was a particular event that was a milestone in that it represented and symbolized the intention of a Kadosh Baruch Hu to give the land of Eretz Yisrael, of Eretz Canaan, to Avraham. What was that event? That event was the HaKadosh Baruch Hu saving Avraham from Ur Kasdim in a miraculous way. Now the Ramban at the end of Parshas Noach is willing to entertain the possibility that it was either the miracle of Kivshan Ha'esh, which Chazal tell us was an extraordinary event. The Ramban is very upset with Ibn Ezra for thinking that the fact that the Torah doesn't mention it means that this is really not necessarily what we should assume happened. Ramban says it's certainly very conceivable that this was what occurred, and the Torah had the reason why he didn't mention it explicitly. The Ramban's shita is consistent with something he says in Parshas Vayigash as well, and we elaborate on it. The Torah did not want to get into the mud, as it were, into the polemics, into the dispute of the time, given that Avraham Avinu's side did not emerge clearly for everyone to know. in a public Kiddush Hashem, it wasn't that way. It was a miracle for Avraham Avinu. It was a seminal event from that perspective, but it wasn't an event that really transformed the world and made this known to the world. So therefore, the Torah did not give that kind of credibility, as it were, to the other side of the debate. But nevertheless, it could have certainly been that it happened. But the Ramban also suggests that it could also be that it was some simple hatsala that Hashem did put into the teva of the world, as it were, the mind of the king, that Avraham Avinu should suddenly be let go and they shouldn't persecute him. Either way, in terms of the message of the point of Avraham Avinu being safe, more kazdim, representing the Ratzon Hashem to give the land to Avraham Avinu, that is critical to the Ramban. The Ramban reads it in a pasuk in Chumash. Again, we mentioned many times. The Ramban doesn't just create paradigms on his own. The Ramban is guided by the Lashon of the Pesukim, reads it into the pasuk. What pasuk does the Ramban see this Yisod in? It's the pasuk that is right in the middle of Bris Bein Absarim, when it begins to introduce to Avraham Avinu the fact that he's going to get Eretz Yisrael. The way the pasuk is worded is quite interesting. The pasuk says, this is in Parshas Lech Lecha, Perek Tesvav, pasuk Zayin, Vayomer Elav, Ani Hashem Asher Hotzeisicha Meur Kastim, Lases Lecha Es Haaretz Hazos Grishta. Says the Ramban, pshat in the pasuk, Hotzeisicha doesn't just mean that I happen to see to it that you left. It means I made a miracle for you. Asher tzeisicha me'eretz Mitzrayim. This is an extraordinary moment, a milestone. At that point, from this time that I saved you, hotzeisicha me'or kastim, there was already an intention on my part. The Ramban says it at the end of Parshas Noach, explaining this pasuk. The Ramban repeats it on this pasuk itself. We suggested, based on this idea of the Ramban, that maybe you could add as to why Avraham Avinu naturally went to Eretz Canaan when he was told Lech Lecha, in addition to what the Ramban says, the two ideas, that it was continuing what he had already started doing, and also it was the fact that he knew Eretz Yisrael was special. It could also be that Avraham Avinu was in sync with the Ratzon Hashem. Since the Ratzon Hashem was already, from the moment the word caused him to go, that he should go to Canaan, which is maybe why Terach and Avraham Avinu also were thinking to go there, not just because they had to get away on a very pragmatic level, to get away from the terrorism and the persecution that they were subjected to in Or Kasdim, but naturally being in sync with Ratzon Hashem, and so was with Avraham Avinu as well, Lech Lecha. Today, Be'ezras Hashem, I want to take this a step further and continue to develop in line of the Ramban's comments in the various psukim that speak to the haftacha of Eretz Yisrael to Avram and to his children. How the Ramban understands the different stages of how this haftacha developed and evolved. But you notice we're drawing a line way back to the Ramban's comments in Bereishis and Noach, and we'll see how we have a progression here. The idea of the promised land, Eretz Yisrael was promised to the Avos. This is, of course, central to Yahadus. The Torah is filled with references to the fact that the land was promised to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Every day in Kriya Shema, the second parasha of Kriya Shema, L'man Yibuyimeichem, Mevenechem, Aladama, Asher Nishba Hashem, Avuseichem, Las Yisrahem. And so many psukim throughout the Torah make mention of this reality. In the parasha Mirzachem of this Shabbos, parashas Chayisara, Avraham Avinu is speaking to Eliezer on the mission that he sends him to find a wife for Yitzchak, and Eliezer poses a question: what if she doesn't want to come back with me? And Avraham Avinu, in his response, makes reference to this promise that Hashem had made to give him the land. In Perek Chav Dalet, Pasuk Zayin. Hashem Elokei HaShamayim, Asher Lekachani Beis Avi Meretz Moladati, Vasher dibali, vasher nishbali leimor, lezarecha etin yisaretz hazos, hu yishlach malacha lefanecha. So the God that took me out of Nibes Avim Eretz Moladeti and who promised me the land that the children will be Zoche in Eretz Yisrael. It's interesting to notice that when Eliezer is speaking to the family and he repeats the conversation he had with Avram and his question to Avram and the answer that Avram assured him that he in fact would be successful in the mission, that Eliezer would be successful, Eliezer omits this particular detail. That Avram said, Hashem who promised me the land. When Eliezer speaks to the family, he says, Vayome Eloi Hashem asher salachti lefanav yishach malcha itach. The God that I walked before him. So it's an interesting point to consider why Eliezer did not rub in, as it were, for the family, the specific words that Avram Avinu said regarding the haftacha of Eretz Yisrael. But meanwhile, Avram Avinu felt confident about that Avtacha, and he makes it clear to Eliezer that Hashem, who promised me the land, he will be the one that will be with you and succeed, help you succeed in the mission. Now, the fact that it's so pashut, you know, the Mesillas Yesharim writes, because something is so pashut, we don't think about it. It's so pashut to us that the land was promised to the avos. We say it ourselves all the time. We have psukim speaking all the time to this issue. So we don't pay attention so much to the finer points. We don't always notice. Okay, so let's look at the psukim where the Torah talks about the promise itself to the avos, specifically beginning with Avraham Avinu. And that's what we're going to begin to do today, Be'ezras Hashem. I want to point out, this is all within the Ramban, Ramban himself is going, those of you who are prepared know what I'm referring to, there are four specific junctures in Parshas Lech Lecha that highlight the promise of Eretz Yisrael to Avram and his children. So have a chumash handy and let's identify the four places. The first point, soon after Avram Avinu arrives in Eretz Canaan, Pasuk tells us, that Hashem appears to him in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Zayin. Vayera Hashem al Avram, Vayomer Lizaracha Etenis Aretz Hazos. So Hashem says straight out to Avram, I'm giving the land to your children. Second place, later on, after Avram and Lot part ways, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Dalet. Vashem Amar Avram Achrei Parad Lot Meimo Sonai Nechorei. Look up in all directions. Ki es kol aris asher taroel lechoet neno zaruch adolam. The land that you see, I give it to you and your children. And it continues to say Kumis halach ba'aretz akol rachba ki lechoet neno. Walk across the land in all directions. I'm giving it to you. So we have a second juncture in Lech Lecha where the land is promised to Avram and his children. The third point in Parshas Lech Lecha is, of course, at the Bris Bein Abzarim, where Hashem says, the pasuk that we quoted earlier, in Perek Tezvav, pasuk Zayin, Vayom Eilav, Ani Hashem Asher Tzitzicham Yor Kazdim, Roses Lecha, Tzartos Ulishta. From way back, when I took you out of Kazdim, I had intention to give you the land. On this communication to Avram, Avram Avinu responds with a question. How do I know? And Hashem tells him to take all the various animals and birds, he splits them in half, and you have this very mysterious description of what we know to be referred to as Bris Bein HaBesarim. This is a world unto itself to really understand the symbolism of all of this. And as part of this Bris Bein Abzarim, Hashem tells Avram, you shall know that there's going to be a galus of 400 years. The purpose of mentioning this is because of what will be afterwards. After the galus in Mitzrayim, Eretz Lo Lahem, so then they're going to be released, Rechush Gadol. The Dor Revi'i Yashuvu Heina, Pasuk Tes Zayin. The fourth generation, different pshatim, what refers to fourth generation for who, will return here. So here you have the word of Hashem as part of a bris, ben atzarim, that there will be a point that they will return to this land. And then it says explicitly in Pasuk Yud Ches, Bayomahu, Karas Hashem es Avram bris le'mor, Hashem made a covenant with saying, Lezarecha nasati yisaretz hazos, and it begins to delineate borders and identify nations. So this is certainly very elaborate. This is the third mention of Hashem promising the land to Avram. And where is the fourth? Where is the fourth? Regarding where? The end of the parasha, Bris Mila, right? The end of parasha Lech Lecha. In Perek Tes Zayin, that's Perek Yud Zayin, I should say. Yud Zayin Pasuk Ches. Hashem has just changed his name from Avram to Avraham. And Hashem is going to tell him about the Bris Mila, about Kimosi Espisi Beini Veinecha. And it says further, V'nasati lecha lezarecha acharecha eis eretz migurecha eis ko eretz kenan. This is a pasuk ches, lachuzas olam v'yisraelem l'elohim. So it says, I'm going to give you and your children the land that you lived in, eretz kenan, lachuzas olam, and I will be to them a God. So obviously each one of these promises is distinct from the other. And the question becomes, what is unique about each particular promise, each avtacha? Before looking at the Ramban's comment about this, let me preface. What was the chronology of these four promises? You read the psukim, the natural assumption is that the first promise was the beginning of Lech Lecha, Lezarecha, Etenis Eretz Hazos, Nasatis Eretz Hazos, what does it say, Lezarecha? Again, what was the Lashon HaPasuk in the beginning? Lezarecha, Eten, Eretz Hazos, yes. And then you have the next promise would have to go separated. Third one was Bishkin Absarim, and the fourth one Bismila. This is what the Ramban works with. The assumption the Ramban works with is that the Torah is chronological. We've noted this already on occasion, that Ramban is very spearing in using the rule of Ein Mukta Mulcha BaTorah. Unless it's somehow Mukach, or very, very close to that, the Ramban will assume that things are chronological. However, Chazal, Rashi quotes this in Parshas Bo, and it's based on a Seder Olam. Chazal says something interesting about the events of Parshas Lech Lecha. According to what they say, the Bris Ben Absarim preceded the beginning of the Parsha. Because how old was Avram at the beginning of Lech Lecha? How old? The Torah says 75. Chazal tell us the age of Avram Avinu at Bris Ben Absarim was 70. 70, based on the Pasuk and Parshas Bo, 430 years. In which case, you have to understand how to work it out. There's Tosis and Brachas, that's Zayin of the Beis, and a lot of Mepharshim try to figure out where exactly you break it up. Because if Avram Avinu went at age 70, so then apparently he went back to Eretz to Haran, and then at the beginning of Lech Lecha is when he's leaving a second time. There were two Yitzios from Haran to Eretz Canaan. And therefore, it would turn out that the haftachos that you have in the beginning of the parasha actually followed the haftacha Bris Ben Absarim. So this is a whole separate discussion. But we are working with the Ramban's assumption, and he deals with the Pasuk and Parshas Bo in a different way, and he assumes that everything is keseder as it appears in the Chumash. So therefore, the first haftacha was the beginning of the parasha, Zarecha Etenis Aretz Hazos, followed by what you have with after Lot, and he tells him to go look in all directions. Then Bris Ben Absarim, and then you have by Bris Mila. So let's see the very important comment of the Ramban, Pasuk Yud Ches, Tesbav Yud Ches. We'll read it together, and we'll try to analyze as much as we could. Okay, so everyone turn to the Ramban. Bayomahu Koras Hashem Es Avam Bris Gleimor. Everyone have it? Zok the Ramban. Hinei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hivtiach Es Avram B'matnas Ha'aretz Po'amim Rabim. The Kulam Litzorech Inyan. Okay, so each one had its own message. Let's start with number one. Bevoo Ba'aretz Mitchila. When Avram Avinu first arrived, Amar Lo Lezarecha Etein Es Ha'aretz Hazos, V'lo Bi'er Matanto. Hashem did not explain the nature of the gift. How much is he giving him? Ki ein b'mashma rak b'meh shaholach ba'oretz ad mikom shchem ad eilon moreh. From what it says in the beginning of Lech Lecha, Lezarecha etin esaretz hazos, one could read into that that Hashem is giving him what? Es ha'oretz hazos. Does it mean the entire width and breadth of Eretz Yisrael? Does it mean all the, you know, the whole area? Or does it just mean a more limited zone, namely the area that Avraham Avinu had now walked from when he got into Eretz Yisrael until this moment? That area, Ad Mekom Shechem Ad Gomer, that would be the borders. So the borders would be very narrow, very limited. Interesting. What is Peshat in the Ramban? Does it mean that that in fact was the Peshat, was the meaning of that Haftacha? All Hashem gave him at this moment was a more limited amount of area? Is that the Peshat in the Ramban? How do you understand the Ramban? Will be er mantanto ki ein b'mashma rak mashalach. Does that mean that all he actually gave was that? The achar acharichein. Let's go on. And you have to understand. And what's the nature? Why is Hashem giving him less now? What changed later? So let's see the next sentence. Acharichein b'sherabu zichuyosav. When Avram's merit gets greater, ba'aretz in the land, hosif lo, he added in the next time. Sonai necharei. He's going to give him all of that, those lands. And what does it mean? So that's also limited. If you look in with your eyes, how far can you see already? Unless your eyes become like binoculars, so or telescopes, so how can you see? How much can you see? So the Ramban says two possibilities. The Eina Tam Asher Atarah Beinecha, meaning what you can see physically with your eyes. Ki Ra'osa Adam Einenu Lemerchak. A person can't see. You can only see a certain distance. Rak Sheyiten Lo L'chom Mare Einav Haruchos. No, if you're looking in that direction, that whole direction, continue on. Beyond what your eyes can actually see. In the direction that your eyes are looking. O Sher O Ko Eretz Yisrael Kashayim Mosh Rabbeinu. Or Hashem actually gave Avram Avinu the ability to see with his eyes miraculously, as if his eyes became binoculars, and he actually saw the entire area. So the point now is, the first Haftacha seems to have been limited to where he walked. When his merit increased, hosif lo, the entire area in every direction. So I want to understand, Rabosai, does it mean that the actual gift, the first time what Hashem was giving him, was only a smaller portion? And then Hashem says, I'm adding, hosif lo means I'm adding in the actual content, in the content itself of the gift. Is that how you understand the Ramban? No? Or could you suggest a different possibility? I think in the words of the Ramban, one can read a little differently. Okay, I can't prove this, but you'll hear what I'm saying. You'll agree, you won't agree. Let's see where it takes us. The Ramban says, lo bi'er mantanta. It doesn't say that it's unequivocally means only the area he walked. No. I can very well hear, before this we read this Ramban, we read a puzzle, Zarachat in this Arts Azot. Does it mean not just the area that he walked? Arts Azot means beyond, the whole area, the land. Hashem had in mind a lot more than just the small area that Avraham Avinu happened to walk on. But you can't say for sure. You could also interpret the same words in a more limited way. The words, as we would say in Talmudic language, mishtama l'treyanti, the words can be understood in two different ways. So therefore, maybe all Hashem was giving him was es aretz hazos in a limited sense. But maybe not. But you never know. Who's to know? The promise did not explicitly, unequivocally say in it, in the words that Hashem said, that you're going to have the entire expanse of Eretz Yisrael. So what do I gain with this? And now it comes out that the point here is not so much what Hashem actually promised in terms of the content. It's what Hashem wanted Avram to know about what he's giving. What do I mean? There's a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Yud Amud Beis, that speaks to the essence of what it means to give a gift. What is a gift? Stam, a way of making a transaction. I can sell you something, I can gift it to you. So as a result of the transaction, there'll be a change of, either a change or there'll be something handed over. The recipient gets rights, gets bailus. That's from the perspective of kosher mishpat, right? Transfer of title. Matana has another dimension to it. Matana is not just a way of affecting a transaction. Matana is a way of expressing a unique relationship and bond between the giver and the recipient. We have in halacha, it has ramifications. If there's sometimes doubts, questions about details within a case of a mecher or a matana, so we say mocher ba'ayin ra mocher and nosin ba'ayin yafa nosin. Again, not everything falls onto that, but the idea is sometimes you can imagine that the no saint is more gracious because that's why he's giving a gift after all. So the Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Yud that a person gives a gift to somebody, tzarech hodiyo. He has to inform him. He has to tell him, I'm going to give you this gift. What's the pshat? The pshat is because a gift is also a manifestation of a care, a love, a concern on the part of the giver for the recipient. It seems to me that the point of the Ramban is not just about how much Avraham Avinu got the first time and how much he got the second time. It's about what Hashem told Avraham Avinu. To the extent that the gift was specific, to that extent, the act of giving Avraham reflects a deeper sense of love for Avraham Avinu. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, I'm giving you all that you see. That haftach itself reflects a deeper feeling of love for Avraham Avinu. If the words of Hashem's gift, of the haftach, are very general, the more general, the less that they reflect a special measure of love. He's not being modiyah as much. The tzarech lodiyo that the Gemara talks about by Matanis, Gemara in Beitza as well in the second parak, the tzarech lodiyo is a function of the love of the nosein for the makabel. You want to give something to somebody that you care about, the more that you show them, you explain to them what this gift is about and what you're actually giving, the more you show them how much you care about them. I don't mean in a way that's patronizing. I mean simply in terms of letting them appreciate what you're giving. So, therefore, the point of the Ramban that when Avraham Avinu's merit increased, hosif lo doesn't mean hosif lo in the actual content of the matana, but hosif lo in terms of the communication. And if there's more communication, there's a greater love. That's maybe what we could say. Okay. Derech agav, when the Ramban says initially that the first promise could have meant just the area that he walked, what comes to mind is a pasuk in Vayetse by Yaakov Avinu, when he was lying down that night in Beisel, and Hashem says in the dream, Ha'aretz asher ata shochev alecha, the land that you're lying on, Nuchatenu zarecha. And the question is, that's all Hashem is giving him, those little Dalet Amos. There's a chazal in that Rashi quotes, Hashem kiviyachol took all their Yisrael and put it underneath Yaakov Avinu's body. But in any case, the idea is that you could, the words say, Asher ata shochev alecha. The Ramban says, Zarchan sati sa'aretz azos, they could mean the land that you walked. But now Hashem goes further and gives him more, delineates more, and therefore it reflects a greater gift. Again, not necessarily in terms of content, but in terms of the message of love that giving a gift shows. Okay, let's see where this takes us. The Ramban continues. So we have the first two points in Lech Lecha of the Haftacha of Eretz Yisrael. Let's go continue in the Ramban. what happens when it comes to Bispin Absarim? Oh, the Ramban says something more. That's also that something that's added. He's going to have a lot of children. Pamashlishis Bier lo techumei ha'aretz. In the Hashem Vir Bispin Absarim fleshes out specific boundaries. Talks about, what am I giving you? Min ha-mitzvayim, ad ha-nohar ha-gadon ha-pras. What else happens over there? V'hiskilo kol ha-amim asara umos. It mentions the 10 nations. V'hosif lichlos lo bris aleihem shelo yigrom ha-chet. 3 points that distinguish the Avtacha Bispin Absarim. What are they? Number one, he delineates borders. Number two, he mentions 10 nations. Number three, there's a bris, shelo yigrom hachet. So let's take each one. The first point, what is the ma'ila of the fact that Hashem bi'er lo tchumei ha'aretz? So in light of what we just said, I think the pshat is, not so much that you have more in the content, but you have more clarity about the gift. The more specific, the more the matana has a greater is a greater reflection of the love and the bond between the giver and the recipient. So Hashem is telling you, I'm giving you this, I'm giving you mina ha-mitzrayim and our pras. It's more of a gift. It's explaining how much I love you and I'm giving you all of that. Even if it would have been implicit, the second haftacha, he says the whole, every direction, so okay. But he's more specific. Furthermore, he enumerates the 10 nations. So understand the depth of the gift. 10 nations. You're going to take over the land of the 10 nations. So I think there too, the point of the third haftacha has to do with the nature of the communication of the matana, not as much in terms of the actual content of the matana, but the fact that Hashem decides to show Avram and tell Avram about it in a more specific way, that's the significance. What's the third point? The third point is Karas lo bris shelo yigrom hachet. So what is this? This sounds like in terms of the actual promise itself. The promise is not subject to something that could cause it to be reversed. It's irreversible, at least in terms of yigrom hachet. The promise will still be there for you. And that's what the Krisus Bris represents. So this we have to explain a little bit better. Before we do that, let's finish the Ramban, and then about the fourth Haftacha, and then we'll try to explain better what was significant about the Krisus Bris, Shelo Yigrom Hachet. Further, the Ramban says, V'kashetzivo al amila, omalo, La'achuzas olam. Those words only appear in the fourth haftacha. What does it mean, la'achuzas olam? It's going to be for you, la'achuzas olam. She'im le'mor shim yiglu mimena od yashuvu v'yinchaluha. What is he saying? Once, if they'll get exiled, it's not all bets are off. It's a one-shot deal. You're there. For some reason, you lose it. You have no right to come back. Now, understand, there was already a bris shelo yigrom hachet. So what do you mean? What's the distinction? How do you understand here? Yigrom hachet. So how do you mean you won't go back? The Torah says yigrom hachet relates to the initial conquest. If you're not worthy, yigrom hachet, then you may not get the present. You may not get to go in. Okay, so the answer is, there's haftacha, a bris bin absam, that you're going to get it. Now, doesn't mean that you can't lose it. Suppose you lose it. Suppose you end up being exiled. Who says that you have the rights to go back? Who says Hashem ever gave that to you? So this is why it says the achuzas olam. Achuzas olam means that you will return. Second point, what was unique about the last haftacha by the bris milah? שהוא בכבודו יני גוסם ולא יהיו בממשלס כל חב ומזל או שר מסורי מעלה, כאשר יסבר עוד בתורה. So this point, keep in your minds, because this is something that the Ramban is going to develop much more in Parshas Achrimos, Kasha Yisbayer, a very unique idea of that Eretz Yisrael and the nature and the relationship between Hashem and Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. It's direct, there's no intermediary, there's no Sar Misari Mala. The Ramban has this a lot in Achrimos and also in some other places as well, in Hazinu and in Ekev. There's a special way HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. That is what Nischadesh by Bris Mila, which is Vayisi Lahem Lelokim. And what's the first thing that was Nischadesh by Bris Mila? That it should be La'achuzas Olam. That even if they'll be exiled, they will return. Let's talk about each of these points. The point that if they will be exiled, they will return. When did that become official? That Haftacha by Bris Mila. Interesting Maramakam. The Abar Benel learns that this was actually what was part of Bris Ben Absarim. Bris Ben Absarim was a haftacha that Klal Yisrael will have la'achuzas olam, meaning they will always have Eretz Yisrael even after they get sent into Golos. Because after all, Bris Ben Absarim alludes to the Golios as well, being exiled, not just Mitzrayim before, but even afterwards, the Dalad Golios. So the Bris Ben Absarim was a promise that you'll have Eretz Yisrael la'achuzas olam. That's how the Bar Benel learns it. It's actually found in a sefer called Yeshuas Meshicho, which is about the holding of the Mashiach. He probably has it on the Torah as well, but I didn't check. But the Ramban doesn't learn that way. The Ramban learns that the promise that they will always get it back is what was Nischadesh by Bris Mila. I want to understand these two points of Bris Mila, that Hashem tells him, La'achuzas Olam and Vayisrael Lahem Lelokim. Are these things that changed in terms of the content of the Haftacha? Or in terms of the communication that we were talking about before, that if Hashem tells Avram more about the Bris, it reflects a greater devotion to Avram Avinu. But they're already implicit in the earlier promise. How do you understand it? Is it a unique point vis-a-vis the actual promise itself? That until now it wasn't given to Avram Avinu to the Torah's Achuzas Olam? And it wasn't given by Torah for Yisraelim Lelokim, and that's what came later. Or the idea is just like Hashem delineates boundaries that didn't delineate before, just like Hashem delineates nations. So that's making Avram more aware of the specific gift. So it's the same gift, but it's a greater ava. Is that what the Ramban means over here? That's what I'm wondering. How do you understand this? The two points that came at Bris Mila. Is it a function of the gift itself, the content, or is it a function of the communication? If we say it was a function of the content itself, then until Bris Mila, the gift of Eretz Yisrael did not contain the dimension of Achuzas Olam, that if they'll be exiled, they would return, and did not contain the dimension of Yisraelim Elohim, then I ask you the following. Then how do you know that that dimension has a guarantee, Shelo Yigra Machet? You follow me? If the Yigra Mach, there was a priestess bris previous to this, a bris bin Absarim, that whatever I'm giving you, lo Yigra Machet. And now, after that point, there's a new dimension that's put into this Matana. So where does that fit vis-a-vis the possible Yigra Machet? Is it a kasha or is it not a kasha? So it could be Vayisalem Elohim is a mitzius. That's not totally in Yigra Machet. In other words, it's a reality. Hashem is mechadish that when he tells Avram Avinu, this is what I'm giving you in Eretz Yisrael, Vayisalem Elohim. But that's not something that's going to be subject to how anyone behaves. That's a reality. Hashem is directly our God in Eretz Yisrael and nowhere else. What about the other point of Achuzas Olam? I mean, that fact that we should be able to go back after we get exiled, so how do you know that that's, let's say we misbehave in Golos to such an extent. So you have to know. Maybe mitzad this, you wouldn't have that guarantee. But there's all kinds of other psukim that guarantee that there will be a geula. And part of that, those guarantees of a geula is that that you'll go back to Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, Yigur Machet will not change that, because there's all kinds of other guarantees in the Gula Sida. That could be, you fit it into that. Or Achuzas Om is also a Metzius. The fact that you have such a right of Eretz Yisrael as an eternal possession, so that's also not going to be subject to changing, because it's a reality. It's not about, I'm giving it to you conditionally. It's a reality. Another possibility is that anything that's added to the bris, a bris bin absarim, automatically goes into the nature of what the bris was. If the bris bin absarim said, unconditional, lo yigur machet, it's not going to change anything, then even a detail that gets inserted in the matana, post bris bin absarim, automatically factors into everything that the bris bin absarim already encompassed. So again, this is what I'm kind of posing as a hakira for you. Could be that these details anyway were present before. It's just that Hashem makes them known to Avraham Avinu. Or these are points that are being nischadesh now. But then, if so, how do you know that they have the special guarantee of Yigur Machet? Could be that automatic. It's automatic because it's a reality of Eretz Yisrael. It could be that there are other things that cover for that. Or it could be that if it's put in after bris bin absarim, then automatically it gets covered under, subsumed under the earlier bris of bris bin absarim. Now, okay, let's see what the Ramban does at this point. He goes into the lishonos of the psukim. Let's see, this may be pose some difficulty for some of the points that we said just now. The Ramban says further, Amar akosu b'pamar lishono gazarcha etein. Etain is future. Same thing the second time. V'chem b'sheinis etnena hinelo nesana elav kula. So it doesn't say gave, it says I will give. However, b'shlishis, b'shas abriyas, he says nasati, meaning he'll make a bris on the matana shekfar nasan. V'chem b'esa mila v'nasati lecha, which is future. What is Ramban trying to say here? It's very, to me, very enigmatic. What is Ramban's point here? It sounds like Ramban is saying, etain, for the first two times, he hadn't yet given it. What do you mean? According to the way we understood, it was given, it just wasn't explicitly stated. So why is Ramban saying he had said etain? I didn't give it yet? What does Ramban mean here? I'm leaving this as a tzarachiyun a little bit. What does Ramban mean? If it's not clear, does that mean I didn't give it? So, could be, this gets to, on a meta level, if you can't prove what you got, then technically you don't have it. If you have a shtar, and the words of the shtar, anyone who's a lawyer understands it, and halacha that way as well. If the document doesn't say explicitly what you're entitled to, then you're going to get the bare minimum. So even the Kadosh Baruch Hu's kavana, so to speak, and the Yachal, was to give Avram more than just the land he walked, and so on. But it could be that the words are just mean as far as he got. So therefore, on the level of what it could mean to get a greater amount, it's not yet given. So I don't know, it could be that Ramban is thinking in those terms, that in terms of what was not clear, it's an etain. Yeah. Maybe other ways to learn it as well. Etnena. Avraham Avinu hadn't yet walked across the land, so therefore, in some way, he hadn't yet gotten it. But then the Ramban says, bris bin absarim nasati, he's giving a priest's bris on everything that he gave. And he mentions the gevulim, so there's no two ways about it. So there's nasati. And what about the nasati lecha? So if the measure of Achuzas Olam was already present, so why is it Nasati, I will give it to you? Again, maybe because who knows, maybe it wasn't present. It's not clear, you don't have it unless it's clear. So to the extent that it's not clear in the terms, it's not yet a clarity as if it was there already. So the only time that you can say Nasati is the point where everything has already been spelled out, to the extent that what was spelled out is clear, it's Nasati. Possibility, maybe other ways to think about it. I want to go back, Rabosai, to the point of bris bin absarim being a bris shelo yigra machet. The Ramban says it in one sentence over here. We have to develop this further. And to understand this, we have to understand another Ramban earlier on Bamo Eda. turn back to the pasuk that Ramban discusses, b'mo'eda ki rashena. So Ramban says this on the pasuk Zayin. That's where he explains b'mo'eda. What exactly is the question, b'mo'eda ki irashena? What exactly was Avram asking? Rashi understands that b'mo'eda was Avram asking, who knows, what does Rashi say? What was the question b'mo'eda? What was Avram asking for? An oath. He wanted an oath that Hashem will give Eretz Yisrael. He wanted an oath. He didn't ask an oath for the promise that he'll have children, but he wanted to know, I need a sign, proof in some way that I'm going to have Eretz Yisrael. That fits with something that Rashi says on the pasuk, v'hemin b'Hashem v'yachshevel lo tzedakah. That Rashi says, what was v'hemin b'Hashem v'yachshevel tzedakah? That Avraham Avinu did not ask for an oath on the promise of getting children. And Hashem thought of that as a tzedakah, that Avraham Avinu had a munah. In fact, the Ramban doesn't like that whole approach of Rashi. The Ramban asks on that pasuk, why wouldn't Avraham believe? Why is it such a tzedakah that Avraham Avinu believed in Hashem's promise? So for the Ramban, the issue is not about if I'm asking an oath or not asking an oath. What is the question of b'mo'eda, and why does he only ask b'mo'eda now with regard to Eretz Yisrael? Yeah.
Rashi does address that issue of having a munah. He says that it's very common that Levim have a munah, but they still ask for an oath anyways.
Okay, so there are answers. There are answers. Mizrahi gives answers. But I'm just showing you that the Ramban asks on Rashi, and therefore he has a whole different shot. So what is the Ramban's pshat in the question of b'mo'eda? Now, knowing just what we read so far, it sounds like Shem Yigram Achet. It's only about whether we are worthy or not worthy. That's the only thing that you have to think about. And what's the answer? The Bria strengthens it, that you're going to get it no matter what. Look at the Ramban carefully. Pasuk Zay. Hashem says, Kfar Pirashti, that what it means is, when the time I took out of Rakazdim and did the miracle for you, the Ratzon was to give you the land. The words don't say, right now, Hashem is making an unequivocal statement, I'm giving it to you. The Lashon HaPasuk is very tentative, very amorphous. Omar hotzio me'ur kazdim al menas yitnenelo. So Hashem's words are framed as Hashem is stating like a Memela, you know, I took Yeru Kazdim with the intention to give it to you. Given that these words were not stated in an unequivocal way, I am giving you the land. It says, I took you out in order to give it to you. Chashash Avram, pen yeh b'Yerushas Aretz t'nai ha-ma'asim. Avram suspected maybe the Yerushas Aretz will have a condition having to do with deeds. Now, what's going on here? In other words, Hashem had promised already to give him the land. Afo pisha omalo pa'amayim v'zarecha eten yisaretz hazos. That was in the beginning of Lechecha, and then again after Lot separated. But it's true Hashem promised. But maybe the promise has a condition that has to do with deeds. Ki ata lo yigzor hamatana kasher gozer lo zera. Because Hashem is not being gozer the matana like he was gozer there. What does Ramban say? When Hashem says you're going to have children, Hashem is being gozer to Avraham Avinu, you're going to have children. So if Hashem is gozer, that he's going to have children, Avraham Avinu is not going to ask for Mo'eda. Because he's not going to think, oh, maybe there are conditions attached. Hashem says you're going to have children, you're going to have children. But if Hashem says, I took you out, and I had in mind way back, I took you out to give you the land. That sounds more tentative. In other words, that there's such a mahalach, that I'm going to give you the land. But maybe there's a condition built into it. So b'mo'eda ki rashena, meaning maybe the conditions won't be met. You see, and these conditions, this is not about per se, dafka, that as a result of the Aveira, we'll lose the promise. That the promise from its very outset was conditional. And what's the condition? So look what he says. L'chein omar, b'mo'eda ka'i kiroshen, eino kish'elas ma'os, as Rashi had it. And Hashem did not respond by doing a miracle. V'gam kash baruch hu lo'osa imo kishar osos, gaharis lo'osa mo'fes. Rather, what was Avram's question, Zok the Ramban? Look carefully at the language. Bikesh Avram, she'yeda yediyah amitis, she'yiroshena v'lo yigrum cheto, Avram wanted a yediyah amitis. He wanted to know proof positive that unequivocally we will be yorish the land, and no sin of his or his descendants will stop it. He wanted to know with absolute certainty that this gift will come to fruition, that we will be yorish the land. But notice something else. What else does Ramban bring into the hopper? What else could stop the gift from being fulfilled? Either cheto or chet zaro, yigrum hachet, as Ramban had it in the other place. What else could stand in the way? Oh, shema yasu haknanim tshuva. Maybe the nations in Eretz Canaan will do tshuva. V'yikuyam bahem rega adabra goy v'amamlocha linsos linsos l'avid v'shava goy ahub me'ra'os v'nichamti agarah. Like it says in Yirmiyahu that Hashem could think to slay, to destruct, destroy a nation, and they'll do tshuva. We find by Nineveh, for example. And then Hashem will take back the evil that he wanted to befall that nation. So therefore, it could be that the nations will do tshuva. And therefore, it won't be guaranteed that I'll have this. Hashem says, you're going to be yours no matter what. Let's understand. What is the nature of the krisas bris ben absarim? That he's going to get the land no matter what. Avraham Avinu thought that maybe my sin, my children's sin, will stop it from being actualized. What else could stop him being actualized? Tshuva of the nations. Hashem says, you're going to get it no matter what. Krisas bris. What lies in that krisas bris? Hashem is saying, I know you're not going to sin. I know the future. I know your children won't sin. I know the Knanim won't do tshuva. Is that the pshat? That's the krisas bris of Sarin. You're going to get it no matter what, because I know, it's a crystal ball, so to speak, that these things are not going to happen. That's not the pshat. Why can't that be the pshat? Why can't that be the pshat? Then you're getting into the whole question, the thorny issue of Yidi and Bechira. Hashem is, so to speak, saying that, you know, they're not. It's inevitable. You can't sin. I'm taking away your ability to sin. They're not going to do shuva. Hashem is telling them about that's the whole bistin absurd. That can't be the pshat. So what is the pshat? The pshat must be that even if your children sin, you sin, your children sin, it's not going to stop the promise from going forward. It's still going to get Eretz Yisrael. And what else is included here? Even if the nations will do shuva. They have Bechira. You'll still get Eretz Yisrael. That's what lies in the Bechira's Bris Ben Asar. Al Kopan Yirashen, Avram Vinu thought that one of two things could change matters and it won't come to fruition. Chait on the part of Avram and his children, or the Tshuva of the Kenanim. Hashem says, you're going to get, I wonder if I want to know, Yidi Amitis, that I'm going to get it. Hashem says, Bechira's Bris, you're going to get it. So let's understand. What does that mean? In terms of the Kenanim, for example, is it fear? Hashem says through Yirmiyahu Navi, if a nation does tshuva, I chose it. So why would it be that if the Canaanim would do tshuva, that Kaisel would still take the land? Who asked this kasha the Gurari? Asked the kasha the Maras on the Ramban. He says, the Ramban says that he asked an oath because it's tole, hadavar tole be'echa, shema yasa tshuva Canaanim. So Avram Avinu is saying, "Afim yasu tshuva yishal esaretz." How can Avram Avinu be asking the land, even if the Canaanim do tshuva? Zedaver pele, echa yachafet shiyasu laos. Hashem, I want you to give me the land, even if the Canaanim do tshuva. V'chi avad Hakadosh Baruch Hu dina below dina. Hashem should give. Is that fair? Avram Avinu's part to force Hashem's hand to give him the land, even if the Canaanim do tshuva. What's the answer? What's the answer to this kash? The answer, I believe, is found in the Ramban himself, in a later pasuk. When the Ramban discusses the Dor Revi Yeshuvu Heina, take a look. The Ramban says, what is Dor Revi Yeshuvu Heina? He says it means not Dor Revi to those who went to Mitzrayim, it means Dor Revi of the Amori. In other words, their account kept being built up. Their negative account, their negative, they're overdrawn and overdrawn and overdrawn with all the averus. And then you get to a certain point that it's over the top, that's it, and that's when the time has come for them. Right? Their day of reckoning has come. Ki miyom hagzeira herich lo. From the time of the gzeira, meaning when he's telling them that you're going to get Eretz Yisrael, so now their account starts building, negatively. Ki upokid avon al shuishen ba'ribeyim. Hashem is pokid avon to four generations. What will be if they'll do tshuva? Dr. Ramban, black and white. Look in the pasuk Tezayin. Ki im yashuvu lo yachrimeim avol yiyu l'mas oved o yifnu lahem. Not the pshat that if they do tshuva, so then what? They'll keep Eretz Yisrael? No, that's what Bispin Absalom is saying. You're getting it no matter what. But certainly, Hashem has an account with them. And if they do tshuva, Hashem gives them mercy. So how would the mercy express itself? Not in terms of helping them stay in the land, that Hashem promised Avraham Avinu, you're getting the land no matter what. But what will be the nafkamina? Will they get destroyed? Will they be slated to be destroyed? Kiachrim tacharime? Or will they be able to remain alive in some other capacity to serve Lamas Oved, or they'll just on their own find another place to live? But Hashem will not decide that they should be destroyed. So that's the chidush of Bris Ben Absalom Benogea, the possibility of the tshuva of the nations. That is, that in terms of Bris Ben Absalom, Hashem is telling Avraham Avinu, you're going to get the land no matter what. The nafkamina of tshuva is not going to affect your Yerusha Sa'aretz. The tshuva can only affect what will be for them. But you are getting the land no matter what. That's in terms of the possibility of their tshuva. What about the possibility of Kar Yisrael's sinning? So what is the chidush of Bris Ben Absalom? Not that Hashem is saying, I know they're not going to sin. The answer is, Hashem is saying, even if you sin, unbelievable thing, even if there'll be hatarim, it's not going to affect your Yerusha Sa'ara. In other words, the question of Avraham Avinu was, is the gift conditional? Conditional can mean on different things. Conditional on that we don't sin. Conditional in the sense that they don't do tshuva. In which case, if it's conditional, then if the condition is not met, one thing could happen, another thing could happen, I won't for sure get Eretz Yisrael. Why did Avraham Avinu think the gift was conditional? When Hashem promised the children, he didn't think it was conditional. The Ramban answers. Why? Because when Hashem promised children, he spoke in a very definitive way. Gozar lo. When Hashem tells him now, Ani Hashem shefisicha loses lecha, what does it say? Hashem is saying unequivocally, I had the day that there's a certain vision, a plan, to give you Eretz Yisrael from the time way back. So Avraham says, wait, so speaking like that, maybe this gift is conditional. So if it's conditional, Avraham Avinu asks, how do I know that I'm going to get it no matter what? It's not conditional. Hashem says, it's not conditional. You're going to get it, even if they do tshuva, that's going to affect my cheshbon with them. You're still getting Eretz Yisrael. If your children sin, I'm still giving you Eretz Yisrael. Wait, bear with me for just another, with your permission. Yeah, just, we have. Yeah. I asked you, how much do I have? 5 minutes, if possible. If we
I
can
have
just.
To give them 5 minutes off, though, so.
Okay, so look, Rabosai, we probably have to flesh this out next week, but I want you to think about the following question in terms of what we just said. I know a couple of you have questions, but just to bring it home in terms of a mefurish of pasuk, you see again, we overlook psukim and see the connections in psukim. Parshas Ekev. Look at those psukim carefully. Perek Tes. Parshas Ekev. Shema Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu is exhorting Kal Yisrael, letting them know, why are you Zoche Eretz Yisrael? Why are you Zoche? Don't think X. Here it is. Here's the reason. Al Tomar Bilvavcha. Don't think at the time that Hashem drives all these nations out, b'tzidkasi aviyani Hashem, l'resh esaretz azos, uverish esagoy me'el Hashem urishim panacha, lo b'tzidkasi aviyani Hashem, l'bab chatav esh esaretzam. Look at the Ramban on that pasuk. and try to connect the dots a little bit. The Psukim are telling us that you're not getting Eretz Yisrael because of your merit. So why are you getting Eretz Yisrael? Ki v'rishas ha'goyim ha'ele. What does that mean? That relates to their being destroyed. The Ramban says, why are you getting Eretz Yisrael? The Pasuk answers, what are the key words in the Pasuk? L'ma'an ha'kimes ha'davar ha'shenishbasham l'abisach. That is, the promise has its own integrity. If Hashem promised the land, the promise goes back to Avraham Avinu's bris ben ha'tzarim. It means it's not conditional. Which means that Moshe Rabbeinu, in effect, is saying the generation of Boi Ha'aretz were really not meritorious, per se, on their own. And that's what Moshe wanted to drill home. But they're getting it anyway, because of the Shvua to the Avos. What are the implications of this? Specifically in terms of the big Yisod of the Ramban, that we see time and time again about how Eretz Yisrael is really a land that has expectations. It's not a free ride. That was the first Ramban in Chumash, that Eretz Yisrael can only be bequeathed to people who live up to certain standards. That was the Yisod of the first Rashi that Ramban explains. That's the Yisod of the Ramban in Parshas Vayera with Gabi Sodom, that the message of stone being destroyed was a message of, look what happens if you don't live up to certain standards in Eretz Yisrael. You get destroyed, you get chased out of Eretz Yisrael. And at one and the same time, even if all that is so, at the same time, Klal Yisrael are being told, you can get Eretz Yisrael because of the Shvua to the Avos, even if you will not be on the level. That's the pshat of the Haftach of Bispin Absalom as a brief. That even though there will be Chatoim, Lo Yigur Machet, it will not stop you from leaving Eretz, from getting Eretz Yisrael. Does it mean you're going to be there forever? That you won't be exiled? Certainly not. If you're not on the level, that's all the psukim throughout Sefer Dvarim, you'll be driven out. Does it mean you won't come back? The Achuzas Olam, that was the Bris Mila. And apparently that also goes into a Bris. That's for sure that they're going to be a return to Eretz Yisrael. So what are the implications in terms of Hashkafa, putting all of these pieces together? That hopefully you have a little time to think about, see what we can come up with that. Okay, shout out to you.